Can I, Karen, if you wouldn't mind, there's plenty to discuss with you tonight, but since we were talking about the Blackhawks, I have to ask you a question.
Yes.
Have you ever been in a situation where somebody who plays any sport has come to you and said, look, I'm usually a golfer, and for some reason, I'm not putting properly, or I'm a tennis player, and my backhand is just awful. Can you do something hypnotically to make me realize that I can get that back? Has that ever happened?
Absolutely.
Hmm.
Golf is the best example. You know, Tiger Woods traveled with a hypnotist for years.
Did he really?
He did. And it really helped him. Especially he changed his swing. He changed coaches, I believe, in his swing at one point. And he had a hypnotist with him there to help him get past the rough times with that. And here's the way it works. It's changing a mindset. Golf is the perfect example. Are you a golfer, Bill?
I'm a tennis player.
Okay, well, I'll bet tennis works the exact same way. If you miss a shot and then you miss another shot, it starts going through your head. Oh, no, my shot's off.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I better improve my backhand. Oh, no, this isn't happening. And what are you thinking? You're thinking about failure. Guess what? You're always going to get the dominant thought that's in your mind.
Hmm.
You're always going to get it. Golfers will do that, too. They have a bad hole, and they start thinking about what they did wrong, and I'm hooking, I'm slicing, I'm doing this and that. And they start thinking about that rather than letting it go and looking at the next hole. If you look at your next shot in tennis and say, this one's going to be great, or I know just how to get it close to the net. If you look at what you can do rather than look back at what you can't do, you're going to improve your game every time.
So more than anything, it's losing the negativity and replacing it with a more positive outlook. Is that kind of what it breaks down to?
You know, I don't want to lean on the power of positive thinking, but that is exactly right. If your dominant thought is the one you're always going to get. So if you're thinking about what happened before that went wrong, you're going to have more things go wrong. It's just going to take you in that direction. If you're thinking about what you can do, what you can accomplish, how you do golf well, how you do swing well, you're going to get that too.
At the voice you're hearing there, that's Karen Hand. Like I said, longtime Chicago radio favorite, now running the Chicago Hypnosis Center. The website, chicagohypnosiscenter.com. I'm going to give you a phone number too, 773-202-0108. We'll talk more with Karen in just a little bit. And if you have any questions, always available at 312-981-7200 or a text at 24720. More with Karen after this. It's WGN. My guest is Karen Hand. Karen runs the Chicago Hypnosis Center. The website, chicagohypnosiscenter.com. The phone number, 773-202-0108. Karen, I want to make sure I'm getting the terminology correct. Hypnotherapist, is that the correct term?
Hypnotist, hypnotherapist. In Illinois, it is actually interchangeable. It differs state by state. But in Illinois, hypnotist or hypnotherapist are interchangeable.
Either or. Okay, yes. Good. We were talking about the role that hypnosis can and does play in sports. When did organized sports realize that this is legit, that you can really get a hypnotist in and help a player who is in need of some help?
I think there have been people who have been using things, elements like this, for years and years. Hypnosis is actually gaining quite a bit of credibility. And in sports, it's been used a great deal because, you know, if you have something that's not going quite right with you, you go see a doctor, you go see something, an expert.
Sure.
And when doctors aren't helping, you go to the expert who can help. As a matter of fact, there's a convention coming up later this year that I'll tell you more about later, but we're focusing on golf and how hypnosis helps with golf. And it's truly amazing how well it works. Athletes all over the world use it. Only in America is hypnosis thought of as weird, like voodoo. In England, it's highly acceptable. In Europe, it's highly acceptable and has been for years. It may be the first line of defense on anything that needs to be fixed. And maybe after you see the hypnotist, you go to the doctor, or maybe you don't need to.
Why do you think your terminology is dead on perfect? Why in America is it looked upon as weird? Why do we see it that way?
I think let's credit Bela Lugosi for that, or Hollywood, because Hollywood, you know, hypnosis itself is a little bit boring. I don't mean hypnosis is boring, but to watch it is boring.
Yeah.
Someone who is in hypnosis, as an example, they often are very relaxed with their eyes closed and doing nothing. So it's that's not pretty. There's nothing that you want to look at with that. So Hollywood has made it important, has made it magic, has given the hypnotist power. Here's the truth about the matter. The hypnotist doesn't have any extraordinary power. I don't have magic words, as an example, that I use. The hypnotist is a trained listener.
Mm-hmm.
A hypnotist will listen to their client and hear their limiting beliefs, hear what they're saying that will indicate a limiting belief, or hear what they're not saying that will indicate a limiting belief. And our job truly is to listen to the person we're working with, hear where their limits are, and then help them change those limiting beliefs into a positive belief.
So when Hollywood used to do those movies back in the 40s with the great Desmondo, and he would say, your eyes are getting sleepy, and all that was messing with the with people who were legit, huh?
Yeah, but it made it exciting. I mean, it's great to watch it on TV. Barbara Streisand did it in On a Clear Day. She went back and looked at past lives and things like that through under hypnosis. In Aladdin, remember the movie Aladdin?
The Disney movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Snake?
Yep.
Look into my eyes.
That's right.
You know, I have people, Bill, I have people who still, when I tell them I'm a hypnotist, will sometimes turn away and say, oh, don't look in my eyes.
Wait, Karen, was that Aladdin or was that the Jungle Book? I think it was Jungle Book, wasn't it?
I believe the snake in Aladdin.
Was it Aladdin?
I may have them confused, but I think it was Aladdin.
All right, here's my theory about why this is probably most beneficial to golf than any other sport. Tell me if you think I'm right or wrong.
Okay.
Golf is the one sport that you're really, when you break it down and look at it, you're playing against yourself. Nobody's blocking your shots. It's almost entirely mental. And you have to have a good physical presence and have a great swing and all like that. But really, golf is the one game where you're responsible for your own destiny. Nobody can block you.
That is absolutely true. But let's take that one step further. You don't think you're playing against yourself on every sport?
Well, yeah, I guess to some extent, I guess you are, yeah.
Yes, the opponent can throw up roadblocks. But next time you watch a sporting event and one team is a real underdog, or they've, in football as an example, they're down by 2 touchdowns, watch the team on the sidelines. You'll be able to tell whether they'll ever be able to come back or not by the looks on their faces, by their posture, by the way they're sitting, by what they're thinking. If they're sitting there thinking, oh, man, we're never going to win this one, guess what? They're not going to win it. They're not coming back.
I always wonder, like, if I could do what you could do, and I'm a huge sports fan, I don't know how you could sit through, let's just say, a Cubs game, and you take a guy like Carlos Marmol, who is one of baseball's best pitchers for several years, and now just can't seem to get anybody out.
Right.
Do you ever watch a guy like that and say, I bet I could help that guy and convince him that it's not just mechanical, that a lot of it's upstairs, it's in his head a little bit?
I think that often.
Yeah.
I'd love to work sometimes with teams that are, the whole team has fallen apart. You've noticed that.
Sure.
Speaking of the Cubs, but
yep.
You know, you can. Yes, I look at that and say, oh man, you would be served so well by turning your thinking around, by changing your thinking. And it's not a matter of the hypnotist convincing the person to do that. It's the hypnotist working with them and listening to where their thoughts are, what is limiting their performance. You've heard the saying, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
Yep.
And it's very true. But people don't always listen to themselves very well. They don't always hear their words very well. There's so much power. You know, I was in radio for years, and words were all we had, as you well know, to express what's going on. Words are very important. But not just the words we're telling somebody else a story about. It's the words we're telling ourselves. And when you say something out loud, every time you say something out loud, you've thought it in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say it out loud, and you hear yourself say it out loud, and you start believing what you're thinking.
That's where the trouble begins for me, Karen, right there. If I could only get rid of that, I'd be in so much better shape. My guest is Karen Hand. She's a hypnotherapist. She's the lady that runs Chicago Hypnosis Center. You can visit them online at chicagohypnosiscenter.com. You can call them at 773-202-0108. And you can continue to listen to Karen right after the news. This is Bill Leff with you on WGN. It's Bill Left with you on WGN, along with Karen Hand. Karen is a hypnotherapist who operates the Chicago Hypnosis Center. Visit them online at chicagohypnosiscenter.com or call them at 773-202-0108. Karen, a little while ago, you were talking about how here in the United States, there's kind of a stigma attached, or there was anyway. It's lessening, certainly, about hypnotism. What are people afraid of when they come to you? Is there some sort of a fear or trepidation that they have sometimes?
They think that it's mind control. Sometimes people are afraid that I can take control of their mind. Nobody can take control of your mind. What hypnosis really is, it's not magic. It's not voodoo. I like to say hypnosis is you do. What the hypnotist does is give you techniques or a new learning experience that will allow you to take better control of your own mind. Because no one can tell you what to think. A lot of people think that thoughts just float over them and they don't have any control over it.
Yeah.
Here's an example. If someone cuts you off in traffic, Bill, how do you respond?
It depends on the situation, but it's not usually very favorable.
Right. Usually, you know, flipping somebody off,
sure.
Screaming and yelling, and then what happens to you? You get angry and you get tense and it makes your day lousy.
Yeah.
You've chosen that thought that, oh, I can't believe you just did that to me.
Yep.
Louis C.K. had a great HBO special last month, and he actually talked about this, not about hypnosis, but about people's reaction in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And he made fun of human behavior at, you know, complaining at somebody cutting him off, not causing an accident, but cutting him off.
Yeah.
And said, what you're really saying is, you just tested my reflexes and absolutely nothing happened. They work just fine. I hope you die.
It's pretty accurate, yeah.
So, you know, you can choose to think angry thoughts, or you can choose to think, wow, am I a lucky person? If I wasn't as alert as I am right now, if I wasn't as aware as I am right now, that could have been really bad, but I am really glad that I'm very aware and I'm a good driver.
Is it true, Karen, that through hypnosis, you can't get anyone to admit to do anything or to do anything that they don't want to do? You can't just plant something in their head and make them do it. They have to want to do it or think it or say it, correct?
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Can't make anyone do something they don't want to do. But if they want to do it, they certainly can do it. May I give you an example of
sure.
a client I had? He came to me for pain management. And he had had an automobile accident about 2 years before I saw him, a terrible accident. In fact, it took about 38 hours before they found him. His car was down in a ditch, and his leg was smashed. His little finger was smashed.
Hmm.
And when they finally got to him, the EMTs got to him and saw his finger first. And one of them, this guy was just barely conscious at that point, one of them said, oh, man, that finger is never going to be the same. And then when they got him to the hospital, they looked at his leg and they repaired the damage. But while he was still, he wasn't back, hadn't fully recovered yet, wasn't back to consciousness yet, but his brother and sister came to his bedside in the hospital. And the doctor said to them, you know, he's going to have pain for the rest of his life unless we amputate that leg. And the brother and sister said, well, we can't make that decision. He's going to have to come to and make that himself.
Yeah.
Well, he came to and his leg was healed enough they actually didn't have to amputate. But in that semi-conscious or even nearly unconscious state, he heard those words, and since they were from experts, the doctors or the EMTs, he took it on as a belief.
Hmm.
He believed it because they had a position of authority. So when he came to him, even though there was no evidence on MRIs or CAT scans or anything else that there was anything still wrong with his leg, he had a level 10 pain almost daily.
Wow.
And was taking about 6 narcotics a day to control the pain.
Huh.
He came to me to see if we could change that. And as I started listening to him, the story that I just told you, the one he told me, I knew exactly what to do with him. But I asked him to focus on his pain, which sounds contraindicated, but I asked him to actually focus on the pain. And in hypnosis, he started looking at it, noticing it. He gave it attributes. He gave it a color. He gave it a size. He gave it texture. And when I asked him how big it's, you know, what size is it, he said, oh, it's way bigger than me. It's way bigger than me. And he believed that the pain was bigger than he was. And even though they were prescribing him medication to deal with the pain in his body, his subconscious mind believed that that pain that was bigger than him was not being helped by the medication. So as we focused in on it and he looked at it and he really got down to where the pain was, it started shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. As we started the session, he was at a level 10 pain. When we finished that pain, he got up and walked across the room with no pain at all. Because he shrunk it down and his mind was able to begin to believe that it was small enough to be controlled by him.
So the key phrase there was him just flat out saying, I'm this big and the pain is this big. And then you realized, I got to reverse that trend.
That's exactly right. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, totally.
How that works?
Yep.
As soon as those false indicators of you've got to amputate or mm-hmm. he's going to have pain for the rest of his life, as soon as he realized that that wasn't true anymore, that that belief system didn't work for him anymore, he instantly, automatically changed it to a belief system that worked for him better.
Perfect. Perfect. Karen, texts have come in. People have some questions for you. I will read them one at a time because if I try reading them more than one at a time, it won't make sense. 847 says this. I have tried to quit smoking several times, but I just can't get the trick. My uncle went through hypnosis, and he has managed to give up smoking. How exactly does that work?
Let's talk about the word try. Try always implies failure.
It does, doesn't it?
It always implies failure. So remember I said the power of words?
Yep.
Every time someone uses the word try, that's the red light going off. Bing, 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 bing. There's your problem. Michael Jordan never tried to make a basket.
No, he made a basket.
As he was dribbling down the court, he knew he was going to make it. Michael Jordan was the number one scorer in the NBA when he played. Guess what? He was the number two misser.
I didn't know that.
That's absolutely true. But he never focused on the misses. He never thought, I could miss this. He focused on making it. So anytime you try to do something, you're giving yourself an out to fail.
So what about that phrase, if at first you don't succeed, try again? Because they say try a lot in that phrase. What should they change that to?
Well, just because it's something is a colloquialism where we use it a lot, do we still need to do that?
No, that's true. Let's get rid of that. I'm crossing that phrase out of my phrase book. I'm not going to say that anymore.
Don't try. Just do it. Just go ahead and do it.
I would imagine you have quite a few people that have come to you for smoking addiction, for eating addiction, for any kind of an addiction. Is it the same process for all those addictions, or do you go at it from different directions?
It's not always the same process. You know, smoking is really fairly easy to deal with because it's an all or nothing, or yes or no. Either you quit or you don't.
Yep.
And people will often say, you know, those cravings just take over me. Well, let's look at it this way. Do you ever drive along in your car, hear a song, and it reminds you of an old girlfriend?
Yeah.
Do you call her?
No.
Right. Right.
Do you know why? Because then my wife would hit me very, very hard with an aluminum baseball bat if I didn't do that.
That's right. And your belief system is it's more important to keep your wife happy than to call that old girlfriend who really didn't mean anything. You just had a thought about her.
Right. That's so true.
A craving for a cigarette is just a thought.
Can't you also, though, when somebody comes in who can't stop smoking, do you ever put any emphasis on the fact that, number one, it will kill you? That's not just an opinion, that's fact. And number two, they really taste awful. Do you press that or do you not press that?
You know, it depends on the client. If they come in telling me, I hate the smell, I want to quit because I hate the smell, what I look at is what benefits they get out of what they're wanting to accomplish.
Yeah.
We stress the benefits. If I start stressing health benefits and somebody doesn't care if they live or die, that's not going to do us any good.
No, that's a dead end. Yep.
Yeah. It's not. So my job is to listen to the client, find out what their benefits are, what they're going to get out of accomplishing what they want to accomplish, and we go there. So smoking, that's pretty easy. Weight loss could be a different story. Weight loss could have a lot of baggage around it. You could be a member of the Clean Your Plate Club because Dad wouldn't let you have dessert unless you cleaned your plate. You could have had poverty and starvation in your youth, and you never want to be hungry again. So it depends on the thinking process. Each client and each issue is completely different. You just have to go with the thinking process on each one.
Karen, did you ever see this? Sometimes when people are trying to lose weight, I've seen them do this thing where they'll put a picture of the most immense person they can find on their refrigerator so that every time they reach for food, they look at that picture of a gigantic person and say to themselves, I don't want to be that person. Is that self-hypnosis? Is that kind of the same thing?
All hypnosis is self-hypnosis. All of it.
Hmm.
Because I can't go in and do, you know, what the Bela Lugosi thing, looking in my eyes and do what I tell you. So they are actually accepting the suggestion. Every time, you have to accept the suggestion.
I'm going to ask you one more, because I've always wondered about this. When I sleep with one of those white noise machines, you know, that thing that makes like a buzzy, fuzzy noise.
Yeah.
And I always say, as I'm laying there, I go, this is really a hypnosis machine, because it's taking my mind off of everything else and focusing on that noise. That's what it is, isn't it?
Absolutely. Sure it is. It gives you something else to focus on. I'll give you a great sleep technique right here if you want it.
Do me a favor. Let's come back and get it. I would love to hear it.
Okay.
All right. So Karen Hand is my guest. She is a hypnotherapist over at the Chicago Hypnosis Center. You can visit their website, chicagohypnosiscenter.com. You can call them at 773-202-0108. And we have a great sleep technique coming up next. Stay here. It's WGN. It is Bill Leff with you on WGN. Along with Karen Hand. Karen, a longtime Chicago radio favorite, now working as a hypnotherapist at the Chicago Hypnosis Center. Visit their website, chicagohypnosiscenter.com. Call them at 773-202-0108. Karen, just a little while ago before the break, you were saying you had a pretty good method for getting some more sleep. What is that method? What would you recommend?
If, for people who have trouble getting to sleep, or they wake up in the middle of the night and have trouble getting back to sleep, this is a great technique to use. The conscious mind, the one that we put so much credit to, really is the most limited part of our thinking. Most of what runs our bodies, the subconscious and unconscious parts of our mind. So the conscious part is limited. It can only hold about 7 pieces of information at any one time.
Mm-hmm.
And it can only focus on one thing at a time. So,
and that's men and women? Because I know that holds true for men, but women are like that too, huh?
That's a little different from multitasking, okay? People can do one or two things at a time, but their real focus is on one thing at a time.
Yeah.
Both men and women. Hmm. So the conscious mind can only really focus on one thing at a time. When you're lying there in bed, not able to get to sleep, more than likely, the thoughts are just racing through your head.
Sure.
The conscious mind is just letting it run and run and run and run and run. And then it starts to say, oh, my gosh, I'll never sleep. Oh, man, I've got to get up early in the morning. This isn't going to work for me. Whatever. Those negative thoughts start to creep in. If you give your conscious mind something else to do, those thoughts will go away. They will relax and go away. And here's how I want you to do it.
All right.
Don't try this if you're driving.
Good idea.
By the way.
Thank you. Good idea.
Just focus for a moment. If you're at a place where you can, go ahead and close your eyes and focus and imagine the biggest chalkboard you could ever imagine. The biggest chalkboard you can imagine. You've got a big piece of chalk and you've got a big eraser.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up that piece of chalk and on that chalkboard, as big as you can, write the number 25.
All right.
And once you have that number written, put down the chalk and pick up an eraser and erase the entire blackboard. All the way, even up in the corners.
Okay.
Erase all of it. As soon as you have it erased, put the eraser down, pick up the chalk, and write the number 24. As soon as you've got it written, put the chalk down, pick up the eraser, and erase the entire chalkboard, even into the corners. As soon as you have it erased, put the eraser down, pick up the chalk, and write the number 23.
I'm going to figure out this pattern eventually. I haven't cracked it yet, but I will.
Well, I'm going to tell you the pattern. The pattern is you're going to focus on a number. You're going to focus on the number 25, write it, erase it, the number 24, write it, erase it, et cetera.
Yeah.
The conscious mind, which can only hold about 7 things, starts focusing on those numbers, and it has a lot of tasks to keep up with. It has to keep up with the number that you've written, the number that's coming up next, whether you're writing or erasing.
Yeah.
And the subconscious mind is all about imagination. If you're doing it as big as you possibly can, you're actually getting a little physical workout.
Oh, how about that?
The subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between fact and fiction. Doesn't have any ability to differentiate. Only the conscious mind can do that. So in the subconscious mind, it's kind of getting a workout. It's getting tired out. And it's relaxing because it's the conscious mind is focusing on those numbers. And whether it's writing or erasing, and as long as the conscious mind has to keep up with all of that, those racing thoughts will go away.
And would you recommend, Karen, doing that every night, or is that the kind of thing where you have to you kind of switch it up a little bit?
The best part about hypnosis is if you look at an Advil bottle as an example,
yeah.
It will say take 2 tablets every 4 hours. So if your headache or your pain comes back in 2.5 hours, you've got to wait it out until the 4 hours comes up, and then you can take another 2. With hypnosis, do it as often as you need it, as often as you want to. You cannot OD on hypnosis. The thing is, once you learn to calm your mind, you can do it at will whenever you need it. You do that 2 or 3 nights in a row, you'll start falling asleep easier.
Oh, I like the sound of that. That sounds good. All right, I have to ask you this. There's a story in the news that I... Help me with the terminology on this one because I don't get it.
Okay.
There's a story about Kate Middleton, you know, the lovely, stunning princess there in England. And as the baby's being born, she has announced that she's thinking about using hypnobirth. Now, I've never heard of this. What is that?
Yes, you have.
What is that?
Well, do you know what Lamaze is?
I do.
Well, it's...
Is it the same thing?
Hypnobirthing isn't exactly the same thing. But remember we talked about in this country how hypnosis is... voodoo or magic. Well, when they came up with the technique on using it, they didn't call it hypnosis because people would be afraid of it. So they branded it as something else. They called it Lamaze instead, but they're teaching you hypnosis techniques.
Oh, I guess it is, isn't it?
I had 23 hours of labor when I gave birth to my daughter. I needed no medication. I needed nothing else because I'd learned the techniques of Lamaze. I knew for a fact that as soon as, and have you ever experienced the Lamaze technique?
I've not. I know what
it is.
But
I know you haven't had a baby, but I didn't know if you would coach somebody or not.
No, I have not.
Okay, so the technique is, as soon as the contraction begins, it's not a bad thing. It's not a horrible thing. It's just a signal. It's a signal to focus on your breathing, to begin to breathe. And when your conscious mind starts focusing on the breathing, I know you've heard the jokes about it.
Yeah, I have.
Right?
Yeah.
So as soon as the conscious mind is focusing on the breathing, it's no longer focused on the pain, so the body can relax. If you tense up against anything, it gets worse.
Yeah, it does.
If you relax with anything, it gets better.
Sure.
So anything made worse by stress gets better with hypnosis. If you start focusing on that breathing and you breathe through it, well, the contraction's over before you know it. And you know the next contraction is just a signal to breathe again.
Yeah, it is.
To relax. If you look at it that way, instead of, oh, I don't know how I'm going to get through this pain, it's easy. I went through 23 hours, never needed medication, and I had 5 hours of the pushing phase of delivery.
Oh, wow. Wow.
But I was just focusing on the breathing. I would have 45 seconds of contractions, 15 seconds of no contractions in that pushing phase. I would fall completely asleep in the 15 seconds. And then my daughter's father would... say, okay, here it is, time again. I would start the breathing again, and it was just very simple.
I like that you were falling asleep. Were you using that chalkboard thing to make yourself...
No, I was using the breathing thing. And by the way, I was pretty exhausted by that point. So sleep came easy.
I can't even imagine. That's Karen Hand, everybody. She's a hypnotherapist. She can help you out. Do you have some sort of a thing you want to be hypnotized and do it better or to get rid of something? The Chicago Hypnosis Center is the place for you. ChicagoHypnosisCenter.com or 773-202-0108. Karen, thanks for hanging out with us. I hope you have a great rest of the summer.
Let me just do one more thing, Bill, real quick.
Yeah.
Make it easy on yourself. Learn self-hypnosis. Coming up in October, the greatest learning hypnosis convention in America is going on in Northbrook. And on October 18th, you could actually learn self-hypnosis. It's an all-day seminar for the public. You can learn self-hypnosis and learn how to do these things for yourself for just $35.
Fantastic.
It's a whole course. You won't get a better deal any place in the world. It's out in Northbrook. It's the Mid-America Hypnosis Conference, and it's all weekend. The public is invited, but on that Friday, $35, and you learn all of the techniques to self-hypnosis. If you want information about it, go to midamericaconference.com. Or follow us on Facebook, Mid-America Hypnosis Conference.
Perfect. Karen,
find out all about it.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Have a good week.
Hey, you too, Bill. Thanks for having me.
You're very, very welcome.